The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. Hey, it's the bonus show, kids. Put your hats on. Get out your party streamers.
Make Gary, Red Eye great again.
Yeah, make
make Red Eye great again.
or just make a Red Eye great. Yeah, the again doesn't always apply.
But make doomed great again.
Make doomed great again.
All right, let's start off the show talking fair trade.
There's a new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions, the Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
And that's the final call on ABC. So Canada has the basketball championship, and the United States has the hockey championship.
I just want to say to our Canadian friends that, look, we've been playing along and being nice for a while. You guys get a little baseball, you get a little basketball. But what you may not know is that on both fronts, if you win the national championship, it's not the national championship. And per our Constitution, most Canadians don't know this, it doesn't count.
That's the 30th Amendment.
It's a participation trophy. We're joking. Actually, I'm not. Give it back.
Actually, they're technically world champions. The NBA is considered the world, and so is the NHL is considered the world champion.
Right. Because we had to get away from.
I mean, it's the NBA. Yeah. Now, again, I mean that is quite. I'm trying to think of the word for that. That is quite arrogant for the NBA and the NHL to assume that it's the best hockey and basketball in the world. But it is.
Well, you know, I mean, I said we. I'm not a Mavericks fan, but here in Dallas, I mean, we had a prominent German guy who was pretty good. He's okay.
I saw last week. He said, "I'm a Texan now."
He is. He really is.
Hey, look, it's Texas. You know, if Davy Crockett can do it, so can everybody else.
Yeah. You know, my Spurs had a French American, so you know Tony Parker, so. You know, yeah, okay, it's global. No, it's not. Shut up. It's the U.S.
And I watched.
Give it back.
And I've seen the movie The Replacements, and their field goal kicker was a soccer player from England. So it's
worst Keanu movie ever. Okay, one of the worst Keanu movies ever. Wait, one of a number of worst Keanu movies ever. What a horrible movie that
is. Really,
that's a horrible. They need to make a Replacements movie about replacing that movie. Oh my gosh. All right. Congratulations, Raptors. Blah, blah, blah. Give it back. Shut up. No cure for cancer.
Oh, man.
All right. Yeah.
By the way, you need to put that in context.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right.
You
okay.
need to put that in context. Well,
okay.
You just can't
okay,
blurt that out. You
you're
need
right.
to put
right.
that statement
Especially
in context.
Especially at the beginning of the show, because
yes.
that actually started at the end of the show, and I know
yes.
it's a very
so
long
when you
show,
just said, so. People go, what the hell did that
yes.
mean?
Yes, I'm highly against curing cancer, so there we go. Now I'm going to... And I look forward to your email.
Just
now,
so
we're
people
just talking
know
about
that,
yeah.
That comes from social media and the response
yeah.
to Biden. And if you said, well, that's a ridiculous thing, and then the people would shoot back at you, say, well, you don't care about curing cancer, and Biden does.
Right. Politically, so, it was a couple of things. I mean, you know, it's designed to evoke the emotion and really drive maybe empathy for an older guy that's running for president, and certainly we all feel for him and his loss, as we do for anyone who has suffered or has a loved one who has suffered with those horrible diseases. But politically, it was a promise, of course, that he could not fulfill and cannot fulfill. We know that. But the media doesn't treat it that way, and certainly social media didn't treat it that way. As we predicted, it was going to be about, you know, essentially positioning the Republicans to make them look like they don't want to cure cancer. And, you know, it's like, because you said it, you know, right off the bat, which is, you know, the big obvious elephant in the living room or in the campaign room, that of course everybody wants to cure cancer, but a political promise is something different.
Yes.
Everybody wants that, but it's a ridiculous
political promise.
Yeah.
That you will cure it.
Yes. Exactly.
If you are president of the United
right.
States, implying that if somebody else is president, they can't cure it,
right.
is a ridiculous and stupid political statement to make.
And we knew the media and that social media, the left would take it and run with it in the way that, you know, it was a positioning statement to make it look like that the Republicans don't want to cure cancer. And that, you know, and I said, you know, just imagine a guy, you know, at the rally, you know, and he says, I promise to cure cancer. No, I want something else. Boo. No cure for cancer. Of course, we all want to cure cancer, and it's just ridiculous. But nonetheless, it is the insanity that we live in, especially in the echo chamber that is social media. So aside from that, Toronto, seriously, give it back. Stop this madness. Shut up and give it back.
I think most of them probably would not agree with you tonight. Maybe next week they
great.
Give it back.
Yeah. You can keep it for the night. Give it back tomorrow.
Look, they're going to forget about basketball very soon. The Canadian Football League is going to be kicking off very soon here.
Yes, yeah.
By the way, they play in the same length court up
right.
there, just so you know. It's not a bigger court
right.
when they play the NBA up in Toronto.
You know, that's actually an interesting point. I guess I'd never considered that, but it is. But it's the NBA. It's the same league, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I didn't
it's
consider
like the hockey's
yeah.
the same.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
know. I was being sarcastic.
And also, Toronto, give Kawhi Leonard back to the Spurs. This is getting stupid. Give him back to the Spurs. Just stop the madness.
You know, here's...
We want him back in San Antonio.
Here's a little trivia. Look, it's the Friday show, so,
yeah,
you know,
is.
Hey, we don't know where we're going to go today, but here's a little trivia.
Mm.
Who's one of the few... Maybe the only, I'm not sure, but I know one of the few NFL teams ever to be beaten by a Canadian Football League team.
Man, I totally do not have a clue on that one.
Well, come on.
Hmm.
Who would it have to be?
Oh, yeah, the Bills.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, there was a six-man football team from Texas that they were like eight.
I think it was the 60 or 61 season. The Hamilton Tiger Cats, because it's right. I mean, it's just a, you know, less than an hour ride. The Hamilton Tiger Cats played the Buffalo Bills. I don't know. I've got to look up the history of it, but they played the Bills in an exhibition game. So they weren't playing there.
Yeah.
It wasn't the regular people, but Hamilton actually won the game.
All right.
And then they did that early. I think another NFL team, well, they were in the American Football League then. Buffalo, but
okay.
I do think that another either AFL team or NFL team was beaten in another exhibition game. Nobody ever played in the real
Who
season.
Of note, because you're good with names, but you may not know this. I don't know. I'm just going to put you on the spot. And on that team, on that year, the Buffalo Bills would be of note. I know it's an exhibition, and maybe, you know, they didn't play their.
Wow, I don't think anybody
string,
because
but.
That was their. I don't think anyone because that was before. That was before Jack Kemp got there.
Yeah, because that's the first thing I thought. I knew that was before his time.
That was before. It was their first or second year of the NFL the AFL, the American Football League,
right.
Which was 60. 60 was the first year of the American Football League. See, just so people know, I actually did work at a sports news talk station that did sports and I'm not talking about when I worked.
At
WBAP. I'm talking about a station that was actually known more for sports,
right.
but had a couple of news talk shows.
Yeah.
So you had to be able to do both. So
yeah.
I did. I would never want to be a sports talk show host. Mm. Never. Never. It's the hardest thing. That's much harder than this job is. I've got some.
Right.
I gave when I was a radio station manager. They earned. I mean, I hired. I didn't give anybody anything. They've always earned it.
Yeah.
If they work for me, but sure. There were a bunch of different people that I hired as sports people that are still in it today that are really, really good. And I tell them all the time, I say, I don't know how you do it. Because right. when you work, when you do, especially when you do local sports talk, people only care about one or two teams. That's it.
Yeah, right.
They only care about it. And in most towns, it's the, you know, it's usually the, you know, the football team in the town where I was born and raised. It's football and hockey.
Right.
Baseball doesn't even matter up there. Now, a lot of towns, baseball does. But if you come from, as the majority of towns are only a one or two sport town, that's all people want to hear. You got to find a way to talk about those two topics all year round. When you do our kind of talk, there are thousands of topics that are possibilities to bring up.
You know,
well, except the last right. 2-3 years.
Yeah. right.
Trump.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everything's
an offshoot of Trump. It's like he's standing in the center and a bunch of kids are running around right. him, you know, just so going crazy.
But our job hasn't been harder. It's been easier because of
Well, it's been harder in paring down the stories that we, you know, the things we would talk about. Sports talk would be, I don't know how they get it done. The play-by-play stuff, I don't know how they do that. We've got a couple of friends that you and I know, colleagues. I fill in on WBAP Morning News with Al Jay. I fill in for the very capable Brian Estridge, who is normally there. And Brian Estridge calls TCU basketball and football. And I listen to the games, and I don't – the guy's got two brains. When our friend Chuck Cooperstein, for the Mavericks.
I used to work with Chuck Cooperstein. Yeah. Golfed a few times with Chuck. He does the Mavericks. I know John Murphy. I hired John Murphy, who is the voice of the Buffalo Bills.
These people are
Ralph Strangis, who's done hockey. By the way, he did the Dallas Stars, but then he's done a ton of different hockey.
And you can't even see the puck in hockey. You don't have.
Well, but, I can't. Yeah. We in the North can.
Exactly.
We know where the puck
and
is.
Strangis definitely can.
Yeah, you people in the South.
Right.
You need to remember they did the streak?
Yeah, right.
Remember they had the streak so people could
which
follow
was
the
so
puck?
Stupid, yeah.
Oh, I hated that.
It was so distracting.
Like, ah,
it's like I want to go back to not seeing.
Don't put animation in sports.
No.
Man.
I think about that. And because I listen to Brian Estridge quite a bit. And it's a talent that I will never know. And it is one of those where they have two brains and they know everything and they're just so ingrained in it. And it's one of those, what do they say? 30,000 hours when you perfect something, but it's one of those where he is totally mastered along with Cooperstein. Cooperstein in the hallways. Well, on his show, you didn't forget about the hallways. We don't even have to tell you about anything behind the scenes.
Encyclopedia of statistics.
Yeah, no, it would just be, it's crazy. And there was no way you could ever stump him. The closest in music I ever got to that was, let's see here, Stray Cats, Brian Setzer. Brian Setzer. I was going to say Brian Stelter. Wait a minute, that's somebody else. Brian Setzer. And we had him in a studio at a radio station I had or worked at, and they had stumped Brian Setzer, and you called in and you just said, okay, play this song, and if you couldn't play it, you won tickets. And he played everything, of course, and we had to give away tickets just randomly. But the thing is, that's the way these folks are. They're extremely knowledgeable about what they do.
What gets me is like with, you know, when draft day every year,
yeah,
when you hear these local talk show hosts and they start going through every single person from every single, if there's 300 people, they're going to be drafted in the next few days. They know the statistics on all of them. Now, maybe because of the internet, they've got them sitting in front of them. But a lot of them just know, I'd know a few of them just know all this stuff ad lib. Well, he bench pressed this and he did that. I'm thinking, how do you know that? And then people ask us, well, how do you guys know the whole Russian collusion thing?
Right.
It's like, well, for us, it's because it goes day by day by day. You get a little bit to, you know, from day one, we only had a little bit. Day two, a little bit more. And we've been talking about it for 2.5 years. So it's an accumulation of information over that time.
Right.
A lot of times when these drafts come up, it's like, okay, you've got to study for the next 2 months all these 300 players and know how much they bench, what they run the 40 in, what they do.
Right.
And I'm just
it's
like,
all brand new.
And I'm like, no way. No, I'm not going to do that. It's sports. It's not worth the energy.
It's like if the House, if there were term limits, one term per member, And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got to go in and get familiar with hundreds and hundreds. You know, it'd be kind of like that, but they go through it every year, not every 2 years even. I mean, they go through all that. So it's pretty incredible. But congratulations, Canada, and seriously, stop the madness. Give it back.
Coming up on the show today, the U.S. says it's Iran. Sarah Sanders resigning. Yeah. Not really. They made it big news, but we knew this, what, 9 months ago?
Yeah.
Almost 9 months ago that she was eventually going to, we thought it was going to be by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Kellyanne Conway, I guess I'll have a couple of topics, but I really have been trying to avoid talking about the whole Kellyanne Conway thing in the Hatch Act until her husband responds.
Yeah, we need to know what he thinks.
I want to hear why that, to fire her
fire
posterior
her.
And just kick her butt out of there.
He's going to write a...
I want to hear that. I want to hear her husband's reaction first.
He's going to write an op-ed piece. This big two-page.
The 20 Democrats that are announced for the first debate will have that. Actually, we'll have the four that are out. That'll be an easier list.
Yeah, right.
The FEC chair says that if Trump accepted foreign intelligence on an opponent, it is illegal. Eric and I are going to walk through that.
Yeah, we are.
We are going to walk through that. You don't want to miss this part of the show.
Hmm.
AOC tweets the F-bomb. We'll have that. Dershowitz says he would vote for Biden, not Trump. Well, duh.
Yeah.
He said it from the very beginning. I'm not a Trump fan.
Yeah.
When he's on talking about the law, he talks about the law. Buttigieg doubles down on scrapping the Electoral College and a whole bunch more. Plus your calls and comments. It's the Friday show. We would love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio. Toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. And the other thing we'll talk about is the fact that one of the actresses in the new Men in Black, mm-hmm. I almost said Men Without Hats again.
You and I were talking about the band from the 80s, Men Without Hats,
But the Men in Black franchise needs to change the name because it is not, the title is not woke. And when I first saw that, I went, oh, okay, must be the black thing or something.
Well,
no, it's men. It should be Humans in Black.
You know, because when we're going to have, you know, a documentary-style movie that is clearly based on the real world, giant cockroaches coming down from space trying to eat us, then I think it's... important to be accurate in the portrayal in terms of the representation of those who fight said giant cockroaches from outer space.
But remember, the fantasy of Men in Black came from the conspiracy theory.
That's right.
That there were men
that's right
in black,
two men
that were coming down. They were men. Now, they didn't identify themselves as
men, but they
appeared to be the stereotypical man.
That's right.
Wow.
For Travel Centers of America, here is your forecast.
Most of the country will be enjoying beautiful spring or even summer-like conditions in the west where the heat continues, but overall, the nation not inundated with a lot of showers. Good news for the nation's heartland and Mississippi River areas where flooding has certainly taken its toll. The south and mid-Atlantic will be dry today. Showers will be clearing out in the northeast. Most of the southern plains will be clear with the exception of some pop-up showers, scattered light showers in the Intermountain West, then along the west coast. From Oregon down through California, we will be dry, some scattered light rain in Washington, east of Seattle. Temperatures today will moderate in the west somewhat. We'll still see the 100-degree heat for Southern California, for the desert southwest, and mainly portions of western Texas. 90-degree readings will be noted along I-10 from Florida to Texas. There's a look at your Friday national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
bonus show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Here is Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday on the attacks on two tankers in the Gulf of Oman yesterday.
Our policy remains an economic and diplomatic effort to bring Iran back to the negotiating table at the right time, to encourage a comprehensive deal that addresses the broad range of threats. Threats today apparent for all the world to see, to peace and security. Iran should meet diplomacy with diplomacy, not with terror, bloodshed, and extortion. The United States will defend its forces, interests, and stand with our partners and allies to safeguard global commerce and regional stability. And we call upon all nations threatened by Iran's provocative acts to join us in that endeavor. Iran is lashing out because the regime wants our successful maximum pressure campaign lifted. No economic sanctions entitle the Islamic Republic to attack innocent civilians, disrupt global oil markets, and engage in nuclear blackmail.
From thehill.com, the U.S. military released a video late last night that it says shows Iran's Revolutionary Guard removing a mine from a targeted oil tanker hours after the Trump administration claimed that Iran was responsible for an attack on the two oil tankers. A U.S. Central Command spokesperson, Captain Bill Urban, released a timeline and photograph suggesting that the U.S. military observed Iranian vessels returning to the tanker to retrieve the unexploded mine, the Washington Post reported. At 4:10 p.m. local time, an IRGC, that's an Iranian, Iran's Revolutionary Guard, Ghasti-class patrol boat approached the Kokakot Courageous and when observed and recorded removing an unexploded limpet mine from the Courageous, Urban said, according to the Post. Mm. Reuters noted that such imagery released by CENTCOM is typically very difficult to declassify. The news service reported that Thursday's release appeared to signal U.S. efforts to convince the international community that Iran was responsible for the day's attack on the two ships. Iran has denied the allegations.
So your limpet mine, this is a magnetic mine that is manually placed on the target. We had heard throughout the day, you know, possibly magnetic mines. That was the theory going around for a while. I'm watching this video here of the Iranian craft.
Mm-hmm.
Then we saw, of course, from the Associated Press, that broke, I don't know, about an hour ago during our pre-show meeting, the owner of the Kokuka Courageous tanker says the crew saw flying objects before the attack, suggesting the ship wasn't damaged by mines. All right, so we look at, like, the damage to the hull, which was on the starboard side above the waterline, at least in one case. And we said, okay, above the waterline, you know, is that a mine? It could be if it's a limpet mine,
right,
and it was placed there manual. What would a flying object be? Maybe it's unrelated, maybe it was related. We don't know, but.
Yeah, I think the story's saying suggesting something you don't know because it might not be suggesting that it wasn't a mine. It could be suggesting that there were multiple ways
that they were being attacked. The tankers were under attack in an attempt to sink them, not just to attack them and set them on fire, but to really take them down. So that would be the tactic used. You use everything within, the biggest part of this is that now the United States talking about using the nation of Iran using official Iranian Guard craft to do this. We're not talking about smaller craft, unmarked craft. That's a big deal when you talk about having, you know, that them using their official boats in order to pull this thing off. If it all turns out to be accurate and true, as you mentioned just a few minutes ago, this is an act of war.
Oh, yeah.
So
attacking a ship. And you have to assume that when you attack a ship, your goal is to sink it.
Right.
To attack a ship in international waters is an act of war.
Yep. And it's not just a, clearly this is aimed at the U.S. primarily. We know what the rift is, but with Prime Minister Abe from Japan being there in Iran, trying to essentially talk Iran off of a ledge and make nice between Iran and the U.S., and then these attacks happening on vessels that had Japan-related cargo. That's something that should be of interest to the entire world. We're clearly in a situation, you said this yesterday, we're clearly in a situation that the president is facing the most serious of situations so far in terms of war, in terms of his presidency. And what I wonder is what happens from here, where this goes from here.
Well, you know, I think the Iranians were already caught in one lie.
Because
remember the state radio said that the crewmen were taken to a port in Iran.
Yeah, the 44 sailors were taken to a port.
That ended up being false.
Right.
Spokesperson for the U.S. Central Command said 21 crew members rescued from the oil tanker, one of the oil tankers, the Courageous, are now on board the USS, the Navy's USS Bainbridge following the explosion.
Right.
The Navy ship was in international waters near the Courageous when it received the distress call.
Right.
The Bainbridge provided immediate assistance to the Courageous and its crew members after they abandoned ship. Naval Forces Central Command also received a distress call. The shipping company that operates the other ship said earlier that crew of the ship was safely evacuated, but it wasn't Iran that did it. And that was so you've caught them in one lie already. You know that's one lie.
Well, and they had reported too that early on that one of the tankers had sunk. And that wasn't the case. The U.S. Navy came back, and the owner of that vessel came back and said, no, that's not true. At that point, I think the fire was still going. But if you understand the nature of a nation like Iran, clearly it's going to be propaganda on things we can prove, and not in real time, but very quickly. The Fifth Fleet is monitoring. You said it yesterday on the air. It's clear that now that the Fifth Fleet is monitoring everything that's going on in that region, right. Every single thing.
Then the story before that said Iranian state TV is airing footage of crew members on one of the tankers damaged in a suspected attack in a room watching English language news on TV. The video shows apparent crew members, including one woman, sitting on couches and watching TV in an Iranian port. So what does that mean? I just found that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's up to the Pentagon to clear everything
right
on this.
Right.
Because if the point is if you catch them in a series of lies that you can prove that's what you wish to do.
Right. Well, I guess and my concern would be as serious as these attacks clearly are, and they deserve the attention that they're getting. Is this a distraction for some kind of larger positioning or posturing by Iran? I didn't see anything. I haven't. I'll have to look here during the break about Israeli intelligence has been the key to pointing out and proving certain things in terms of actions by Iran. Their behavior in supporting certain factions of and arming them. And what I'm wondering here is there a larger plan even? Or is this, again, to send the message to the markets and to the U.S. at the same time, a show of power to the U.S. and the world that we will control the flow of oil here. We will determine what is going to get through. And then, of course, to the markets that, we'll determine the price. If the prices are falling, we'll, as a nation that relies on oil, being exported, we will set the price. We will adjust the price if necessary.
Before that video came out of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard patrol boat, Mr. Pompeo said the assessment that Iran was behind the attacks was based on intelligence, the weapons used, the level of expertise needed to execute the operation, and similar Iranian attacks on shipping. And the fact that no proxy group operating in the area has the resources and proficiency to act with such a high degree of sophistication.
Yeah, right.
Will be interesting to see what happens from this point. You and I said it yesterday. I said, look, if the Fifth Fleet is there, there's some surveillance. They're doing surveillance on the tankers
no doubt.
To see if something happens. And obviously, I mean, this seems like surveillance that was done after, so it shows that they have a quick response, so quick that they apparently caught that patrol boat taking the mine off of the unexploded mine off of the the one tanker, which begs the question, why?
Why would you do that?
Did it not go off?
Right.
Did you realize it wasn't going to go off and it didn't go off and it malfunctioned and you didn't want to leave that as evidence because that without
it
question
would be traceable.
Is the traceable evidence. So there's a series of questions to be asked and answered, but you have to look, it's up to the United States because we have the technology to monitor what's going on, and we have the ability to actually get the evidence that you need. One of the things, and you know, we talked about yesterday because this had come up, you know, what might the one that hit above the waterline, you know, be a because one was right at the waterline, which I think might have been a torpedo or a mine. The other one was above. They've talked about the fact that they saw things flying. If it was a missile, we would know it.
Yes.
If it was a rocket-propelled grenade, we probably would not know it. But a missile, the United States military could track without question as soon as it was fired.
Yeah,
they would know.
A shoulder launch, not so much, but a missile launch, yes.
A missile launch, we would know.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's a great point.
And they'll be able to. I mean, they'll be able to go through with the forensics and find out exactly what it was that hit both of them. They will know.
Right.
It may take a couple of days, but they will know.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Ron in New York City. Ron, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Great.
This whole thing with Iran and those ships, of course they did it. The president of Iran came out, even before it really hit the major wires, that we need to remember to go to the negotiating table and not respond to something that might come out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they were, I mean, we were.
Go ahead. No, I'm just saying, if you're saying that before it's even made on the major wires across the world, you're CYA.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that.
You're trying to keep from the U.S. blowing you off the face of the map.
Yeah. So, the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, he was actually making some comments during the whole and regarding the whole sit down with the prime minister of Japan, Abe. And he said some things, and I'm going to go back and see if I can find the quotes. But yesterday, I kind of thought, well, why would you say that? Because there are things there that indicate. Now, again, maybe I was just putting too much into it. But it just really indicated this early feeling of guilt or really horrible attempt at CYA. Thank you, Ron. We appreciate it.
And we had read that statement yesterday. But then remember, the first reports that we got out, that we got from any country, that there was an incident, first came, I know the one, we got it from the English Naval Group. But even before that, they were stating that in their statement, Iran had commented on an incident that had happened.
Right. The state television was on it, and Iran had already commented on it. But, and you're right, we had commented on one thing that the Supreme Leader said. But there are the things right after our show, more news broke. Of course, this story was developing. And there were some quotes from a website where the Supreme Leader had made some other comments.
Supreme Leader. Come
seriously.
On, Supreme Leader.
In the States, that's Diana Ross. But in so in what I guess that would be Supreme's leader. But the point is
that's
that
okay, we got it.
I was reading through that, yeah. And it was a few lines, and I thought, you know, that sounds a lot like CYA or a really horrible attempt, I guess, at trying to cover up something.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Well, I did see that the head of the FEC said that if the president did take, that if he, did take opposition research from a foreign government, it would be illegal.
And that's because?
Because it would be something of value.
Right.
That you would be getting from a foreign entity.
A gift in kind by a foreign entity.
By a foreign entity. So we now know that you can't do that. Now, remember, he didn't do it. It was a hypothetical.
Right.
Just like when he said that he could kill someone and still have, he could shoot someone and still get the support sarcastically.
Yeah, right, yeah.
He was not advocating shooting somebody.
Right, yes.
So, you and I know now that you cannot give money to campaign money to a foreign national, nor can you take something of value. So we started thinking, after all of this outcry and outrage over what the president said, we started doing our own scenario, just coming up with, I don't know, random, completely random scenarios. Eric, we just pulled something out of thin air and just said, well, let's give an example. If the president did something, how bad would it be?
Right. And don't take this at all seriously, because we're making an extreme point.
We're making extreme points. For example, if the president and his campaign,
right,
maybe in cooperation with other Republican groups.
The party. Right.
You know,
The
GOP. If they decided to take money, campaign money. Now, this is all hypothetical now.
Yeah. And this is not going to happen, right. But we're just making the extreme point just to make the point.
Just the extreme point, just because we have a five-hour show and we have the time.
Sure.
And we have nothing else to do. And
we
got
no place to go.
We have no place to go. So they take this money and they say, look, let's go to our law firm. We want to take this money and we want to get dirt on the other campaign, but we don't want to be tied to it directly. We don't want to pay the people up front. So we got this law firm over here. Let's find this law firm.
Yeah.
And we'll take our campaign money and we'll give it to the law firm.
Okay, hypothetical name, Jerkins Fooey.
Jerkins Fooey. Yeah. I like that. Yes, okay. Jerkins Fooey.
Yeah. There you go.
And then Jerkins Fooey takes this money and funnels it. So there's no direct tie to Trump
Right.
Or the GOP.
Yeah, they're just doing that on their own, you know.
And Jerkins, was it Jerkins?
Jerkins Pooey.
Oh, I was going to say Pooey.
Pooey works.
So this law firm, Jerkins Pooey.
Mm-hmm. I like Pooey better.
Funnels the money to this group that does opposition research.
Right.
They find dirt on other people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the name of this.
Let's say they were an oppo research and a scientific group. Cold Fusion ABC.
Cold Fusion ABC, right. So they take this money and they funnel it to Cold Fusion ABC.
Mm-hmm.
So here's where we are now.
Right. Again, this is an extreme example to make a point.
Something that would probably never, ever happen.
It's not going to happen, but to make the point.
So follow us again. So here's to the point that we're at.
Yeah.
You've got Trump and the RNC.
Yeah.
Trump, if you want to use another name, Hitler. So you've got Trump and you have the RNC, maybe, and they take this money and they funnel it to this law firm.
Jerkins Pooey.
Jerkins Pooey, who then funnels the money to this group that that finds dirt on other campaigns and other candidates.
And also does scientific research called Cold Fusion ABC. Mm-hmm.
They take that money, which is still campaign money. It's just been funneled secretly through these groups, you know, so you don't get a lot of publicity on it.
Right.
So, you know, you're buffering.
Right, exactly.
And they give buffering. It, I don't know, to a former foreign spy who was a foreign national, not a United States citizen.
And in every step here, we're just going to those extremes because this would be just stupid.
Impossible to happen.
Right.
They take that money and they give
it. Because this would be like a spy for the nation of Ireland. Just say that. He's an Irish spy.
Christopher McNamara.
Yes. Seamus Steele.
Seamus Steele. They give it to Seamus Steele. And Seamus Steele... Seamus Steele is in the business of getting dirt and getting information that nobody else can get.
That sounds like a heavy metal singer from Ireland, Seamus Steele.
Seamus Steele contacts all of his... He sits there and says, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so let's just pick a country, Russia. We'll pick a country because there's a lot of stuff on the whole... So right, Seamus Steele, on behalf of Trump and the RNC, with money funneled through the law firm Jerkins Pooey and Cold Fusion ABC, Seamus Steele, with this money, goes to different Russian contacts in the United States and in the Kremlin. And gets all this information that eventually ends up being completely false.
Right, right.
They find out that Seamus actually took this money and Russian intelligence played games with Seamus. And they gave him a bunch of lies and made up ridiculous stuff, and he took that. And came back and told people in the campaign, here's what we have. And then they went to the FBI. They went to our intelligence agencies and they said, look what we have from the Russians on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Look what we have. And it's all false information. And then the intelligence agencies attempt to legitimize it and the FBI attempts to legitimize it and they get a secret warrant to spy on the Hillary campaign.
Yep. Yeah.
And then when that's not enough, they take this false information and they use it to try to destroy Hillary Clinton and the 2016 election.
Let's even take it further. Let's say that his the current director of the CIA is a person who at one point actually voted for. This is so stupid.
Voted for a communist.
Officially right. voted for a communist.
Yeah, hypothetically, this all is.
Yeah.
So our question is, in that scenario, would that be bad?
Would that be wrong?
Would that be wrong?
Would it be media? Media? Hello? Are you awake? Would that be worth covering?
Yes. Would that be a story worth covering?
Because, when you cover the whole back and forth between Bette Midler to no end, I'm thinking this would be covered. I'm guessing. We don't like to speculate. We don't like to predict look, all of this is, we know how stupid this is. We know how out of touch with reality our scenario is. It's not like it would, could be proven with documents and all of that, or the admission of a Jerkins pooey.
Well, wait a minute, and what you also have to say is, this has been brought up a couple times, the people involved in it agree that it all happened.
Oh, yes, and
remember
nobody,
that Trump and the
yes, no,
remember
that's great,
that that's Trump
the
and the Republicans
point,
yes. say, well, yeah, okay, that all happened.
Right. Yes. And
would
and,
that
and
be
nobody,
a story worth covering?
Right. Would you and which parts of the story would you be interested in? I mean. And let's say, like you said, the Justice Department, and they took it to a secret court, and they used that fake information that they paid for and got because it wasn't working, didn't work. It wasn't getting things done. They just decided to, use that to get a secret warrant on somebody in the Hillary campaign. A low-level volunteer. We'll call him Bill.
I like that. That part of the scenario I really like.
Just out of thin air.
I like that. Yeah. That's the best part of the scenario.
Just the first name.
This completely hypothetical scenario here.
a guy who really wasn't important.
Do we have to explain to anybody, or have we made our point? I think we've made our point.
I think we have.
Yes. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on trip planning. Nature often has a mind of its own, and typically it tends to have a negative effect on truck drivers. Before heading out for a trip, check the forecast for potentially adverse conditions. There's always a chance that predicted stormy weather will dissipate, but it's still always better to be prepared than caught off guard. Remember to download a reliable weather app and plan your route to try to avoid inclement conditions. After learning what might be ahead, be sure to pack an appropriate emergency kit to help you deal with any weather-related problems. When you hit the road, remember to slow down if the conditions dictate to avoid accidents and breakdowns. It's safety first and everything else second. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. I need to turn on my microphone. 866-90-RED-EYE. So the whole thing that the media is going crazy about what Trump said in a hypothetical, we gave you a scenario that actually happened. Except it wasn't Trump and it wasn't the Republicans. It was the Hillary campaign and the DNC. And that's the thing that's the most wonderful thing to talk about. Is when the FEC commissioner comes out and says, well, if Trump did that, it'd be illegal. Well, then fine, let's look at what the Democrats did. It keeps it in the public eye. You know that Trump is always going to be criticized no matter what. This is an opportunity to talk about what the other side did. it keeps opening it up. And it, we brought it up the other day how Chris Cuomo was, you know, hemming and hawing and stammering because that's what one of his guests was bringing up. It's not the same thing. 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 No, it's not the same thing, because Trump was just talking about hypothetical getting information. You actually used opposition research, the people you support, mm-hmm. used opposition research to get a FISA warrant.
Yep.
And it was bogus, and it came from the Russians.
Yep.
You got snookered by the Kremlin, right. by Russian intelligence.
Right. They sought it out.
You sought it out. You looked for it. You want to have the argument? Let's have it.
Come on. Let's have the discussion.
Let's have the discussion, Democrat. Let's have it. Trump said a hypothetical. Fine.
Great.
Trump shouldn't do hypotheticals. All right. Let's talk about your side.
Not a hypothetical.
You shouldn't go searching for fake information from the Kremlin and then use it to get a FISA warrant and then use that fake information and fake intelligence in order to destroy the legitimacy of the 2016 election. Trump hypothetical, Democrats that. Let's have the debate.
Yep.
We're ready.
Yep. Come on.
Trump says bad things. You do bad things.
Mm-hmm. Look what he tweeted. Still today, years later.
I know, that's the whole point.
They only have his words. That's the only thing they have.
I thought about that the other day, that this is the, I thought about that because you had said that a long time ago.
Yep.
When you look back, the only thing they have on Trump is his words.
Right.
Look, even the obstruction of justice. Mm-hmm. What did those words mean?
Right.
Not behavior.
What were you thinking?
Right, not what he did.
Crime.
Right. But words and thinking.
Right.
Not behavior.
Right.
Words and thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have behavior.
Right.
Behavior is actually what gets you in trouble, not thoughts.
Exactly.
And that you make a great point on a Friday. I guess we can sit back and say things like that, like, wow, how long has this been going on?
I just...
2.5 years now. It's 2.5 years.
It is insane.
In another week, after next week, 2.5 years.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
It's like you're watching a baseball game and one team keeps blatantly cheating, blatantly doing things, and then they're getting away with it.
You mean like a Patriots fan? Okay.
Let's just say, hypothetically, this would never happen.
Nah,
that one team is spying on another team.
By the way, that's just pure. Yeah, Eric, you can't say it's pure spite. I'm a Bills fan, so it's pure spite.
Let's say, then years later, you know, they manipulated the equipment used. You know, let's say just the football itself. I mean, this would never happen. This would never happen.
This half hour's been full of hypotheticals, hasn't
right.
it?
It has.
Everything's a hypothetical.
And I have a question. What if there were no such thing as a hypothetical question?
What if hypotheticals were true?
Well, it really is. It's so you're out watching like a baseball game and you're watching one team just cheat, but not just that they're getting away with it. The officials aren't calling it. It's that they're blaming the other team for cheating. What the hell? I mean, seriously. You know, I'm not one of those, you know, parents. I wasn't one of those parents when my kids were young and playing, you know, that would be screaming, ump, ump, ump. I didn't do that. But if I were watching this game, I'd be on the field. You would be ejecting me.
So what you're saying is the only hope is the new ump.
Yes. Behind the plate, William Barr. Right. Oh, my gosh. That's great. And he's looking at the instant replay right now. Uh-oh. He's got his head buried in the camera with the little thing draped over his shoulder. He's still, you know, they're in a timeout.
Well, no, that's the analogy.
Yeah, because
when they came out and said the inspector general is going to delay his report.
Right.
We got another 10-minute commercial break here as he got his head under the hood.
Right. And while he's got his head under the hood, you know, all of the other team is going, oh, what is this? This isn't right. That guy's wrong. He should be fired. The cheating team is looking at it saying, he shouldn't be doing that.
Oh, my, I'm dying.
Just ridiculous. Trying to change the rules of the game on the fly.
That's just
man,
great.
I would just love to be in a newsroom and just walk in the middle of that newsroom going, seriously? Really? You didn't cover that at all? Because right now the narrative, it's a conspiracy theory. No, let's walk through it. Find the documents and tell me that Molly Hemingway, Kimberly Strassel, all of the people that have written about this.
Andrew McCarthy. Eric and Gary.
Yeah, Eric and Gary.
Join the Mind Meld, 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Back to Gary McNamara and Eric Harley.
And he's Eric, I'm Gary, 866-90-RED-EYE. So we just went through the whole thing of what the president, the hypothetical that he answered yesterday on, on accepting opposition research from a foreign source.
Right.
And we did a different hypothetical, and we had some fun doing it. So let's head right to you. We go to Dalton in York, Pennsylvania. Dalton, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My thing is what I've seen personally, and one of my experiences, that I've seen a lot of people on the Democratic Party on the left, is that you can debate with them for like hours or days, and it's like they just don't care. You know, you can give them facts and proof and evidence that proves everything you guys are saying, and basically shows that what they believe and like about socialism is just straight out wrong, and just like socialism is just like pure, like it's basically evil, you know. And it's like they still want that. It's like Democrats moving from blue states to red states, and they just vote for the same thing they left behind, you know.
Like, well, there's two different things. I mean, there is the in politics. It's all how you approach it. And Eric and I, and thanks so much for your call. Eric and I approach it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. And if you listen to the show, you know that's the difference. We're not homers. We're homers for our ideology. We're not homers for any particular person.
Wait a minute, this is going to be great.
If we did, I mean, that's how we approach it. And we think a lot of people do the same thing.
Yeah.
They approach it the same way that we do. That's how I was brought up. I was brought up in a family that had Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals. My grandfather was, one of the Democratic representatives of my town, helped form the Democrat Party in the town that I grew up in when he came here from Canada in the beginning of the last century.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it remember, the Democrat Party was a little bit different back than it is now as the Republican, but he just came over and his thing was, he was much more conservative. But when he moved here, he realized he lived in a town that only had, it was all Republican.
Right.
And he said, there's got to be an opposition. Mm-hmm. It's not right that I move. And he came from the United States, from Canada. And as I've told this story, because I just found out a couple of years ago, he came here because of the unbelievable discrimination against Irish Catholics in Ontario, Canada.
Right.
And when my dad told me that, I went, what, really? And I did the research on it. And really, you know, in the 1920s, 1930s,
mm-hmm.
it started disappearing in the 1950s, and it really doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
But it did in the first part of when my grandfather and his family was there. Discrimination was horrible, so he left and came here. And when he came to the United States, he just said, we shouldn't live in a one-party town. And so he helped to form the Democrat Party in the town, and I've asked my father, would he ever be a Democrat today? And my father, well, no. I mean, I asked my dad that years ago. My dad said, no way. Roe v. Wade changed my grandfather. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a practicing Catholic who went to church every single day.
Yeah.
And so, no, he would not be a Democrat today. But we were always taught, and my father always talked about critical thinking and common sense. Mm. And I do think it's because I think not that it doesn't come from my mother, but my father is an engineer. That's his mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from an engineer is based on fact.
Right.
It's not based on what you think or your feelings today. And so that was really drilled into me by my father.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't care. And we've taken flak for it. Because we've disagreed with Republicans. We've disagreed with Trump, and we've taken flak for it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, are we wrong on the issue?
Right.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
And we don't have to play. We're not politicians. We don't have to play the politics. We can look at the issue and say, this is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, by the way, on both sides
mm-hmm.
don't think that way. There are people that will practice political idolatry. We've said this before, that when you look at the Republican Party, they've moved left.
Mm-hmm.
When we make that observation, some Republicans get mad, but the majority of Republicans, and it's really interesting, people that have been involved in the Republican Party have come to us and said, thanks so much. It's very refreshing because you guys aren't just playing Homer, because you agree with the Republican Party more when you see what direction they're going in. You point it out and you're very blunt about it. But here's the thing. There's no anger. I'm not angry about, I can't be angry about what I can't control. I wish they wouldn't be that way. I get passionate. But I realize there's ebb and flow in politics throughout the history of the entire world.
Right.
And we have to put it in context, which mm-hmm. makes telling the truth and saying these are the facts, it makes it easier for us because we come from that perspective. Political idolatry, adoring a candidate, is foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody who I put in office to do that. And I have supported enough candidates in my younger age that I went, oh, wow, I can get behind them. And, man, I think they're the greatest. And all of a sudden, a couple of years later, they're not the greatest anymore.
Right.
Because I realized as politicians, they were BSing me in some way. And so, you know, that's the beauty of what we get to do here. But on the left, I will say this because... not that we don't have liberals that listen, and I think still today, if you look at who listens to conservative talk radio, I still think it's about 60-40. That's what it was a few years ago. 60% of the people agree with you, 40% disagree. Maybe it's 70-30 now. I don't know.
Right.
But it is in that range. I will say this. The liberals get furious at us. Republicans and conservatives at times when we first come out with something may get angry with us, but we find out as we go along, most of them say, okay, I see where you're coming from.
Right.
I still have some problems with it, but I see where you're coming from. But I'm not angry at anybody. We were never angry at Obama.
No. It's not about anger.
And when people would say ridiculous things, we would say, stop that. When Obama was president, people said, he's a dictator. Mm-hmm. Not a dictator.
No. Nope.
He wasn't. He might have wanted to be a dictator. Probably a lot of people. But he wasn't. And to use that, when people would use that, we'd say, don't stop that.
Right.
You know, we weren't birthers. We didn't obsess with the birther movement as so many other people did. We like to stick on the issues of the day. And I will say this, most of the time we can. Politics... again, analyzing politics, though, has also become something that we're fascinated about because we started. And I think more when we started even doing Red Eye that we just, I don't know why, but we just, because we've been together for 14 years and how long?
Next month.
Yeah. 14 years next month. It was right. Red Eye, what, 7 years now?
January 2012. So, yeah.
Okay, seven years on Red Eye. And I just think we started... enjoying talking about, all right, let's put, because I think that's when we started saying, let's put our political hats on. Let's be political consultants, and what would we say? And it's fascinating to do that because I find the political process of how they try to weave through and convince people and You know,
what would my tactic be, knowing how the game is played? What advice would I give? And we back in the day when we offered it to Democrats and said, you know, this is stupid. What you should be doing if you did this and you did that, then we'd get some emails and hey, don't give them advice. And it's like,
Don't worry. They're not going to follow it.
And it's not going to happen.
And by the way, 7 years later, they haven't followed any of it. They've gone in the complete opposite direction. So even though we will get pushback occasionally when we disagree with Republicans, most Republicans understand there isn't that fury. All we feel is absolute fury from the vast majority of Democrats and the vast majority of liberals out there. They don't even want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
I'm not saying that, again, there is an occasional pushback from Republicans or whatever, but really most of them are willing to listen. We find it, I will agree with the caller, we can't even, it's impossible to even have a base level of discussion with the left today.
Mm-hmm.
If you've heard it, and if we get somebody who doesn't sound absolutely insane,
mm-hmm.
we'll go to them. You know, we'll go to somebody on the left. In fact, we used to say we prefer to go to people who disagree with us because it makes it more fun.
Right.
The problem is, and we face it all the time on the show, is when people will call and they will very quickly say something that isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
And we stop them.
Right.
And when we stop, you won't let me talk. We're not going to let you talk because what you said is false, and we're not going to let you come on the show and say 10 false things in a row and have to go through those 10 false things.
We're not going to carry on a conversation based on a false premise.
Right. And so when we do that, we're accused of censoring people because, and that's not the case. And every time it happens, we have to explain and say, look, what the person said was false, and here's why we stopped them at this particular point.
Mm-hmm.
You may believe we're rude. We believe we're not going to play the game.
Right.
We're just not going to play the game that everybody else is willing to play. I don't look. Tucker Carlson does a good show, but I don't want to be Tucker Carlson.
Right.
I don't want to be arguing with people that are nuts and you never get anywhere with them.
Right.
I want to put out ideas.
We want to discuss the ideas.
I want to discuss the ideas.
Because we believe that's where the hearts and minds are changed.
And I don't need somebody who is a far-left socialist who won't stay on topic mm-hmm. and starts out with lies. I'm not going to waste our airtime with people who truly don't want to have a discussion.
Right.
And I find the majority on the left don't.
It's like trying to break a wild Mustang every day, you know, a wild horse, and you're not going to do that.
Not going to do it.
Sorry. A new one every day.
A new one, exactly.
Yeah, right.
A new one every hour.
Exactly. It's not going to happen.
So, to the last caller, we agree with you, and it is frustrating because this is my 30th year, the first week of October will be my 30th year in talk radio. God, how did they ever?
Mm.
Unbelievable. From something I never wanted to do. People say, you always say that. You're lying.
Uh-huh.
You can tell you wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. No, I did not. Huh. Anybody who knows my career, who used to listen to me at my first talk radio job at WJJL in Niagara Falls, will remember when every day for over a year, I said, I'm your temporary talk show host. Mm-hmm. I'm your temporary talk show host. I'm your temporary talk show host. Then a guy I know who I hired by the name of Duke, he was a caller, one day called up and goes, Mac, enough with the temporary crap. You got the gig. I'll never forget that. And the reason I stayed in it is because people, when I moved on to different stations, I was trying to get back into music radio, and people kept offering me more money to do this.
Right, right.
I went, why? I hate it.
Mm.
Yeah, you're sort of good.
Yeah.
You're sort of average.
You're kind of average.
But we went from back then, when I first became a talk show host 30 years ago, we went from talking the issues with each other and going back and forth. Liberals would call and say, here's what I believe. But you'd have a base of discussion that you agreed on. You agreed on the facts, and then you argued the facts.
Right.
That's not what goes on anymore.
Right.
We're not really, when we argue with people on the other side, we're not really debating. We're fact-checking.
There you go.
That's the difference.
That's it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thank you so much for being here. Sarah Sanders, President Trump's spokesperson, is leaving the White House. No surprise. I mean, it was a big story yesterday, and I thought to myself, wasn't it a big story 9 months ago?
It really was. And I told a friend that, and it was like, is she leaving? And I said, yeah, I mean, you know, that was 9 months ago. And then you and I talked a couple of months ago, and I said, you know, I said, look, the summer, members of Congress take a break. There's a lot going on. It's, you know, people are not so in tune to the news because it's vacation season and all of that. That's a good time to kind of bow out. And given the fact that there weren't any press conferences going on, the daily briefings weren't going on, they weren't happening, I said, you know, it's probably safe to say that at some point this summer she'll leave.
Mm-hmm. You said that just a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And so, you know, here we are. We're at this point, and no surprise. Best of luck. And by the way, fantastic job.
Well, I want to say, well, we'll talk more coming up far in the top of the hour on it, because a couple things I want to say about her. Because I don't think there isn't. You can look at it and say, you know, this is what saved the presidency and got it to the point of where it is right now, mm-hmm. which a lot of things have been accomplished that I didn't think would be accomplished. A lot of things haven't been accomplished that I wanted to get accomplished, but that's what you get. But there's a lot of things I like, but I believe that Sarah Huckabee Sanders helped to save the Trump administration.
I think so.
Spicer was horrible.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, beyond
she,
bad.
She right? brought a calmness.
Mm-hmm.
To a very early manic and sometimes still manic presidency. I don't know who's going to replace her.
Yeah.
Whoever replaces her, though, maybe they're just going to say, maybe they've come to the conclusion, we're not going to do daily press briefings once every right. 2-3 months.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. And still having just a tiny problem with... I had that cold last week. And
yeah, getting better, though.
Well, I mean, it's gone completely, except, you know, you're still hacking and wheezing and all that stuff.
Right. You know, and by the way, again, you know, it was, I don't know, a little over a week ago where I had to go home early. It was like after the first half hour and I was sick, and everybody, all the people that reached out, thank you very much. And they were like, and I had one person, you know, saying, are you okay? Is everything? I had leprosy. It's fine. It healed. It's good. I was back the next day. I stole that from an old joke. Who did that? It was a stand-up thing.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was. It was like, you know, you call in and you really try and, you know, you need to, like, make it seem like the worst ever when you call and you're talking to your boss and it's like, yeah, I have leprosy. I'll be in tomorrow. You know, so you just, you know, you overplay it. Everything is fine. It was a very simple thing and nothing life-threatening. It was good. Very good. It was very good. Everything. Very good medicine. Very good doctor. My doctor, I've been with that doctor for a long time.
We're not as young as we used to be.
Yeah, right. No, we're not. Well, and, you know, one of the things you have to do, especially in Texas, I mean, you really got to, as you get older, and really for anybody, even if you're young and in great shape, you need to prehydrate when you know you're going to be like working in the lawn for, and that had happened a couple of days before. I'd been so dehydration was a big part of it. What was going on? And it was like, wow. I had been through that. I kind of went through some of that last summer, and I knew, and it's one of those stupid things where you know what to do and you still don't do it. You know what I mean? You know what the routine is. And that's not, by the way, that's not me. I'm one of those that once I build the routine or process, then it's done and I know exactly what to do and I follow it to a T. But for whatever reason, I didn't last week and it came back.
Yeah, dehydration will get to you. I mean, the heat will get you. I know yesterday I woke up and I just said I'm very determined to get the whole backyard done. Because I had bushes that had to be trimmed, and I got a small tree back there had to be trimmed. I had weeds, and it's just, you know, I've got the moat back there.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That's what we call my pool for people that are new listeners.
Right.
And, you know, it's time to get it all set up. I've just been so busy doing other stuff, so got up at 10 o'clock and was out there about between 10:30 and 11 and worked until 4:30. Yeah. But it was 20 minutes on, 10 minutes off to watch a U.S. Open and drink water. Mm-hmm. But it's really 2010. And you know how I know I'm old? Is not that I couldn't stay out there for an hour and do it.
Right.
Because that would still be stupid in the heat.
Yes.
To do that. Because when I was in my 20s, when I lived in Texas the first time, I had heat exhaustion from playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I was drinking some water. Didn't matter.
I did that one time running at 98 degrees.
Yes.
Yeah, that's stupid.
So even at a younger age, I was able to feel it. That's not how I knew I was old yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was old that when I was done by 4:30, I came back in the house, cooled off, had to go back out to the pool deck area and just look at everything for about 5 minutes.
That's a guy thing, isn't it?
That's a guy thing, yeah.
It's a guy thing. I mean, it's...
And I'm looking, going, boy, the tree looks really nice. And then tomorrow I'm going to take care of this. And then this weekend I'm going to do this. But it's really, and I'm thinking to myself, God, am I old?
See, I do that. I will walk around I'll do the entire perimeter of the house looking at my freshly cut grass. What is that? It's like, man, I really walked behind that self-propelled mower like a pro. What?
And yes, for those, because I still get emails once in a while on it.
Yeah.
From something I said years ago, but I said it when I was on with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the obsession I have with edging the lawn, which mm-hmm. came from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have electric or, you know, gas edgers back then.
You had to push one.
You had to push the edger.
Which was horrible.
And I hated it.
Yeah.
And my mother just wasn't cutting the lawn. It was the edging. And where I grew up in New York, it was the thick Kentucky bluegrass.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And so you're pushing this thing, and I hated that more than anything when I was a kid. My mother used to come out and inspect it and say, nah, there's a blade of grass over the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she wanted it really neat and trim.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the front that I really edge. After I do it,
mm-hmm.
I look at it, and I go up, and I look at the corners. I go, boy, that's really, that corner looks really good.
Yeah. No, that's me. And you know why I do it? Because I'm thinking, man, McNamara's going to come over and he's going to see this. If I don't get this corner tight, I'm never going to hear the end of it. No, you do this and it's like, and then I had someone actually comment on it because this week I did it on Monday and then on Tuesday, this person that was over at the house, early the next morning said, wow, your lawn, because it is all level, but it's plush. I mean, it is
right.
Like, you know,
yes.
So she actually reached over and like touched the top of the, and I'm thinking, okay, that's kind of weird.
She's touching my lawn.
Yeah, don't touch my lawn. Stop doing that. But I thought to myself, all right, job well done. You know, when I'm walking around looking at it like a goober, you know, I really don't care. I know, I mean, logical me, talk show me is going, what are you doing? Go get in the shower. You stink. And what are you doing? You've got a self-propelled mower that does most of the work.
But one of the incentives to get all the work done.
Yeah. What is that?
I played in a golf tournament at the end of April.
Mm.
And I just had some aches and pains and I just said, and some minor injuries. And I just said, okay, put it down. The next thing I have to do is play against my buddy Jeff when I go back to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's supposed to be friendly, yeah, we want to beat each other.
Mm. right.
And I just said, I don't have to play really again any type of, and I consider that a tournament when I have to play against him. I just want to play good, you know.
Sure,
Let's put it, it's a lot less serious than it used to be. And it wasn't really that serious to begin with, but, you know, you want to win. And I know he does, too. He may not admit it, but he does. I'm saying this in case he listens to the podcast tomorrow. He listens to our podcast all the time.
Yeah.
But I just said, I just can't do it. And so about a week ago, I said, okay, it's time to start getting out and hitting some golf balls. I need to play five or six times before I go back and play him on vacation. Well, that's not going to happen. I'll probably get to play two or three times. But it was a week ago where I said, I need to get out and do it. But I'm not going to hit a golf ball until I get all the work done around the house.
Mm.
That was a huge incentive. So right. I've got it almost all done. So I'll probably hit golf balls tomorrow and Saturday, and then probably play a couple times next week or over the next couple of weeks before.
Well, and it's Father's Day weekend. I'm gonna travel to see my mom and my dad, and it's gonna be one of those. The great thing is that next week my oldest granddaughter turns 14.
Wait a minute.
Huh? What?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right?
Because she was a newborn, and
yep.
I remember because I it was another month. It was just a couple weeks later when we started working together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was born actually on Father's Day that year. So there's a party at like 3 p.m. on Saturday, you know, of course. Big party. All of her friends and family. But I'm going to go to, and so I thought, okay, what I'll do is I'll go down on Friday and see my parents. They're only 2 hours away. I'll drive and I'll spend the night. It'll be just me and my folks hanging out. So the Friday night thing will be this. I mean, I'll get there, you know, if I get there around dinner time, probably just after Brett Baer is done. I'll walk in and my mom will say, hey, I got a question. First of all, give me a hug. Give me some love, and I got a question. You think Brett Baer colors his hair? She loves Fox News. I don't watch it hardly. You and I don't watch it a lot. I think that's Brett Baer's probably the highlight of the day. But I just don't watch a lot of Fox News.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll sit around. They'll have their shows that they watch. They watch the NCIS thing. They watch, is it Blue Bloods?
Tom Selleck. Yeah.
They watch those things and we'll hang out and I'll just lay on their couch and we just have this ongoing kind of, slow conversation. You know what? Now my dad and I, at some point, we'll get into an intense talk show conversation. That thing will last an hour and everything else. And my mom will roll her eyes. She agrees, but she'll roll her eyes. And then we'll kind of, as the night wears down, we'll just kind of, I'll put my feet up and I'll just lay there. It's that feeling of being home, you know, in that house. They lived in that house when I graduated high school. We were Air Force. We moved a lot, but they've lived in that house for a long time. And it is that feeling of being home. And then, of course, being able to spend some time with my dad on Father's Day and my mom anytime, not just on Father's Day. But I haven't been able to do that as much. I told my sister I've been MIA, you know, and on a lot of things have been going on. And that's one of the things I've been missing in terms of just going and spending quality time with my mom and dad. And I look forward to doing that. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I will not be up this weekend to see Dad. I sent him a gift basket, though. He gets it tomorrow. But I was up three out of 5 weekends.
Yeah. I mean, you did some traveling.
So, yeah, so, and I'm back.
You built some miles.
I'm back again in a couple of weeks. So,
right.
But, yeah, I talked about my dad earlier, and we've talked about this before, that it's probably never going to happen, but it would be a great thing for my dad to meet your dad.
Oh, man.
We've talked about it before.
Man. Yeah. No, I mean, seriously, it would be great.
And I realize this because you actually remind me a little bit of my dad.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Just certain personality, analytical things, the
right,
way that you think.
Yeah.
And so and you talking about your dad, and I've always thought, I said, boy, I could see my dad sitting down with your dad, cup, glass of iced tea on the porch.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Maybe sitting there talking for ages.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because, you know, my dad, career military, mostly in the Air Force, 4 years in the Navy. And your dad.
Defense contractor.
Defense contractor, yeah. Engineer, pilot.
Yes.
You know, all of those things that, that would all come together in a conversation that, gosh,
they
I don't
come,
know how
they,
long.
They come from two separate, you know, lives.
And experiences.
And experiences,
yeah.
But I just know. I just, knowing how we've talked. No, they'd sit together and they'd talk about everything, and it would be a conversation that would go on for hours upon hours upon hours upon hours.
Yeah, because my dad wasn't a pilot, but in his last few years served as a senior listed advisor for the wing commander at Laughlin Air Force Base, and basically that's what you're doing. You represent
right.
the enlisted folks on that assigned to that base, and you advise the wing commander accordingly. So he was able to fly in the jet with the wing commander a lot, and he still has the software, the Microsoft, I think it's Microsoft software on his computer that he can simulator software. And loves doing that. So that alone, they would probably get off on a discussion on the whole Boeing thing going on.
And oh yeah, first thing,
the Max thing. Yeah.
I walked very quickly. I walk in just last time, 2 weeks ago when I was there.
Right.
I walk in. I took the late Friday night flight in and rented a car. I get in. My dad is. I'm not kidding you. My dad is on the couch. It's probably 11:45. And I come in the house, and I can hear and go, oh, the TV's still on. Mm. I come in, and he's sitting on the couch, and his head's just down a little bit. He can tell he's been sleeping. Then all of a sudden, I walk in. He hears me. He goes, oh, how you doing?
Yeah.
And I said, good to see you. I give him a quick hug, and he says, what's going on with the Boeing Max? Right? I mean, It was like, hi, good to see you. And it was like, what's going on with the Boeing Max?
Yes.
And next thing I know, we're into a 45-minute discussion.
Yes.
And my father said, I'm telling you, this is what it is. I'm like, well, Dad, that's actually what they've said it is. I said, did you read that? He goes, I didn't read that article. He goes, I knew I had it right.
Oh,
it was just,
hilarious. Last time I saw my dad, there are other people in the room, and they're having a conversation. My dad and I are sitting closer together, and we're having the Boeing discussion. And he's like, I'm just scratching my head. How did they not have an override on that program? And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it was like, after I left the house, 15 minutes after I left the house, I got this breaking news thing from Wall Street Journal on the Boeing story. And I had to stop where I was. I was actually driving. And I called him. I said, you're not going to believe this. I just got breaking news. And it's exactly what we said it was. Now, my dad's not a pilot, but he knows the whole idea behind it. And sure enough, it was exactly what we were talking about.
They'd be talking for a day just
on the
whole Boeing situation.
Yeah, right.
We're talking about our dads, Father's Day this weekend.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Yeah.
We hope you have just a great Father's Day.
Growing up, it's all I ever wanted to be. I wanted to be a parent. I wanted to be a father. We had five kids in our family, and I wanted kids. And I can't tell you, it's just a pride that you cannot replace. I know that you had such a great role, a very important role, a primary role in raising your nephew. And so I'll say happy Father's Day to you. You may be Uncle Gary, but we all know the truth. And so to all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day. We hope it's great.
Happy Father's Day. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. The 20 candidates have been set for the first Democrat debate. We'll get to that. I guess it'll be easier to tell you who didn't make the list. But also coming up, and this is really interesting because Democratic presidential candidate John Hickenlooper now is attacking Bernie Sanders and other Democratic candidates again on the whole democratic socialism. Even though he got booed, he may be the only person on that stage.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That is not advocating socialism as a Democrat. He's done.
Yep.
But we'll hit what he is saying coming up here in just a little bit, plus Buttigieg doubles down on scrapping the Electoral College. As I told you, we said it early on when the media was throwing all these accolades at him that, oh, he's the intelligent one and he's thought-provoking. No, he's not.
No.
Why? The substance of the issues. It's like over the last couple of days, Eric, when I've been, when the thing Trump said about foreign sources and all
right,
that.
Right.
The media going crazy about it. We're dealing, you know, we deal in an age where allegations are viewed as facts. Allegations mm-hmm. or hypotheticals are viewed as facts, and facts and behavior and the facts of those behavior are ignored.
Yes.
We have to make sure we're part of the media that's saying, no, we're going to cut through it and get to the substance of the ideas.
Right.
And Buttigieg, when it comes to Electoral College, I said this in the very beginning, he's just a political hack.
Yep. And clueless. Here's your forecast.
Most of the country will be enjoying beautiful spring or even summer-like conditions in the west where the heat continues, but overall, the nation not inundated with a lot of showers. Good news for the nation's heartland and Mississippi River areas where flooding has certainly taken its toll. The south and mid-Atlantic will be dry today. Showers will be clearing out in the northeast. Most of the southern plains will be clear with the exception of some pop-up showers, scattered light showers in the Intermountain West, then along the west coast from Oregon down through California. We will be dry, some scattered light rain in Washington east of Seattle. Temperatures today will moderate in the west somewhat. We'll still see the 100-degree heat for Southern California, for the desert southwest, and mainly portions of western Texas. 90-degree readings will be noted along I-10 from Florida to Texas. There's a look at your Friday national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Bonus Show.
And he is Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye, thanks so much for being here this morning. Mm. So there you go. There's the headline.
Yep.
Alan Dershowitz declares he would support Biden over Trump in 2020.
Right, sure he would.
That's not a story.
Yeah, that's not anything we would, I mean, I don't expect Alan Dershowitz to convert fully to a Trump supporter.
No.
First of all, a Republican or a Trump supporter, both of those would be out of the question.
The only reason we bring that up is Alan Dershowitz has been probably one of the leads, he and Jonathan Turley, in defending the legal rights of the president and going after what the president calls the witch hunt, against the president. He is somebody who has lost a ton of liberal friends. And as he has said, well, that's my day-to-day politics. It has nothing to do with constitutional issues.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the law. The law is the law, irrespective of whether I like somebody in political office or would vote for them.
Right.
The law is the law. And that's why we have used Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley, not exclusively, but we have used them a lot because you cannot make the case that they're Trump fans.
Right. And how many in the court systems, by the way, how many officers of the court, how many judges, clearly we know that sitting on benches, have totally distorted the law, ignored the law, haven't cared, and just only let their political hatred for Trump lead. It's important to show the difference between the two, because my question would be for anybody out there, any other legal expert, have you ever debated an Alan Dershowitz on something? Certainly certain law, well, there's a lot of law that people like to say is about interpretation. Well, have the real debate with an Alan Dershowitz. The points that he makes, how he breaks things down, of what the law is, really has nothing to do with Trump himself. It has to do with the law.
With the law.
We're a nation of laws, and if you don't respect that, if you, first of all, don't know what the laws are and how they're designed, or you don't care, then there is no discussion to be had. He does know. Certainly he cares. He's practiced it for a long, long time. He is very good at what he does. But yet, again, he doesn't have to be a political hack. I mean, we gave him a little bit of leeway on, giving Mueller the benefit of the doubt before Mueller came out and spoke on that Wednesday. And then that changed his mind about Mueller being politically motivated. But beyond that, that really didn't matter in the equation, because that was more about Mueller, not about the law itself. Anyway,
well, this goes back to the caller that we had last hour that said it's so frustrating. You know, you can't talk to anybody on the left; they're just enraged. And the better point you make, the more enraged that they get. I think Alan Dershowitz sees that every day with his liberal friends, where he points out, "Look, this is the law, and the law is the law. You don't get to say, well, I wish to change the law today because I don't like this guy." And I will say that part of that to answer, it's been a long hour long. Answer to that. No,
right.
Not really. But the one caller who brought it up about not being able to argue with people on the left, and wondering why are they so angry? Well, because when your whole opinion, and by the way, I understand this, and you know why? Because 30 years ago, when I first became a talk show host, I was thrust into it. I didn't want to do it. And early opinions that I had, some opinions that I had, I can't even remember what they were on, when challenged, I couldn't answer back.
Right.
When you can't answer back a question, and I know, I went through this in my development as a talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't do it, and you feel that you cannot argue, somebody makes a point and you can't argue it, to me, there was always incredible shame that I didn't do my homework. And it felt bad. I got angry. Well, you have two choices. You either do more studying on the law, you either do more studying on the Constitution and history, or you lash out in rage.
Right.
You don't try to find out what the truth is. Because the truth becomes what your emotion at the moment is.
Right.
And
sure,
that's what we're dealing with. If you wonder why you can't deal with them, it's because, as we have said, the majority of Americans do not understand the Constitution of the United States. Pete Buttigieg, there it is. Buttigieg doubled down on scrapping the Electoral College. It's undemocratic.
Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean? Not a direct democracy?
No.
Well, the representative government is not a direct democracy.
Right.
It's a republic. There's a reason that it's a republic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason the Electoral College exists. There's a reason the Senate exists. We're not a direct democracy. And he won't actually get into the argument on it. He won't get into the argument on it. He won't debate it, actually, because he can't. He simply says things like, twice in my lifetime, I've seen the American people overruled by the Electoral College. Well, the president is put in by the Electoral College for a reason. The Senate exists for a reason. California can be overruled in the Senate, even though they have the majority of the population of any state.
That's right.
California and Texas and New York and Florida could all agree on something in the Senate and get majorly defeated by all the small states.
You know, it's
that has less of a population of them in the Senate.
And what's interesting here is what's behind it, and the way you just put it, California can be overruled by, even though they have the greatest population, by other states in the Senate, and that's the process. That is the reason But what's behind the push to do away with the Electoral College? We don't care about your stupid state. We care about our blue states. We don't care about the other states.
Right.
We don't care about the people in the other states. Remember, for 2 minutes, the liberal media, what was it, the day after the election? Maybe we need to go to the heartland and reach out more, and maybe we need to connect with the people, the working people.
Now it's you, yeah. Filthy Midwesterners.
Well, no, that's...
You filthy heartland. Right. How dare you believe that you have any input as to what this country does?
Well, I mean, seriously. Back when Obama was campaigning, and what was he at a fundraiser when he talked about the people of Pennsylvania clinging to their God and their guns? That is the condescending attitude, the elitist attitude that the left has had for a long, long time. We don't care about your stupid state. We've built our big blue states, and we'll tell you who the president's going to be.
Well, as we have said, though, you know, and this goes back to the whole thing of, you know, Hickenlooper denouncing Sanders' democratic socialism and all that. If you wish to have socialism in your state, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
You know, this is the whole thing when Bernie Sanders, and we played the audio cut yesterday where Bernie Sanders said people would be delighted to pay more taxes if they could get, you know, the health care guarantee. No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, okay.
We've got the evidence. They wouldn't do it in your state. Vermont wouldn't do it.
Right.
Why? Because they had to pay the freight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Vermont didn't want it if they had to pay it. Colorado didn't want it if they had to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership of the Democrats didn't want it in California if they had to pay for it, or they had to write down how they were going to pay for it. They didn't want it.
Well,
and so you can still have the ability to do whatever you wish to do in your state. That's how the union was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be the big federal government controlling everything.
No.
The big federal government was supposed to be an umbrella of protections of individual rights and national defense.
Mm-hmm.
Your state was supposed to take care of you. So you could do what you wanted in California. It could be different than what they did in Texas, and different than what they did in Utah, and different than what they did in South Carolina or Florida. And obviously, Buttigieg, who was supposed to be the intelligent candidate, hasn't figured that out. Because once you get rid of the Electoral College, the next thing to go is the Senate. Remember the publication that talked about the liberal publication
yep.
that we brought up? Well, it's time for the Senate to go, too, because why should Rhode Island have as much representation in the Senate as California? Because you don't understand why it was set up that way. Because if you want civil war, you get civil war when people aren't represented in the union. And you have to understand that the country was not formed to have a huge central government controlling everything that happens in every state. The states were supposed to take care of the majority of things on their own.
Yeah, you pointed to something, and that is the idea that, well, when you talked about health care, what they want is everybody else to pay for it. Well, California couldn't pay for it. They couldn't even put a funding mechanism in their bill. The head of the assembly got death threats when he pointed that out and killed it and said, we can't do this. There's no funding mechanism. But now what is it? We don't care about your stupid flyover state, but we want the people of that flyover state to pay for our abortions.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You don't get a say. We want to do away with the Electoral College, and we want to decide the presidency, but we need your money.
Whole thing about the whole concept of federalism is you can control your specific area of your state.
Right.
You get to do it.
Yep.
That's what the founding fathers wanted.
Right.
I'll argue the morality of the republic any day.
Oh, sure.
But Buttigieg here in the interview that he did yesterday, I mean, we're talking junior high school mentality.
Yes. Really?
Of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hitting him really hard because the media is the one that said he is the thoughtful one. He is the intelligent
right.
one. He is not. He's a political hack.
Yep.
He's jumping with the populist left that's saying the Electoral College must go. The Senate must go. It needs to be one vote.
Mm-hmm.
One person, one vote.
Mm-hmm.
The country wasn't set up that way.
Nope.
And there's a reason. But they don't want to hear the reason that it was set up that way until eventually they are oppressed by that system that they're advocating now.
Right.
Then they'll be, whoa, what's going on here? What's going on here? They don't even want to know. But Buttigieg, in his explanation of the Electoral College, sounded like a junior high school student
yes.
who didn't have a clue as to why the history or why the Constitution exists. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. The story's a couple days old. I can't believe I didn't see it. But AOC and Bernie Sanders say they will kill Amazon Prime's new credit card. We intend to outlaw it. We'll get to that coming up following the top of the hour. This is the whole thing they've been talking about, is they want a federal law limiting credit card interest to 15%.
Right.
As we've
stated
before, what business of it is theirs?
None of their business. It's between two parties.
Between two parties who decide to enter. This is, again, where we live in a world where you have the Democrats believe that the people of the United States are idiots.
Right.
And they need to be told what type of a financial agreement they wish to go into.
Yep.
But we'll get into that coming up here in just a little bit. By the way, some Americans are idiots, and some Americans get into bad.
Oh, sure,
some Americans who are idiots and who are not idiots end up getting into credit problems that they pay dearly for.
Yep, and that's
doesn't mean government should be controlling a voluntary transaction between two people.
Right,
that simple.
Right. There's and
I'm a former bill collector.
Yeah.
I collected credit cards. I collected line of credit.
Right.
I know what debt can do to destroy families and destroy people.
Yep.
Still, no business of the government.
Nobody's business but the two parties that entered into the agreement. And then, I guess, the courts, if they go through bankruptcy filing or something like that. But
and
beyond that,
yes, exactly.
It is... the initial agreement
between
two parties and not the government.
But that's how capitalism works. Two parties enter into an agreement. If one breaks the contract, that's where contract law exists.
Yep.
And the courts at that point get involved to resolve that situation.
Right. We have a system already set up for this. And you may not like it. You may want to do the populist thing, these big banks, or the socialist thing, these big banks. Then don't do business with them. Go out, save your money, and when you've saved enough to buy it, go buy it.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.